There are 150 psalms in the Bible, and the last six all are about praise to the Lord. The psalms end in a crescendo of praise to the Lord. The last five psalms, Psalm 146 through 150, they begin with the words, each one of them, praise the Lord, and they each one end with the phrase, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We're going to be looking at Psalm 148 for a little bit here this morning. It's a psalm of pure praise, calling everyone and everything to praise the God who made everything. It's a praise for creation. I don't know if you saw the title I have in my message. It's a comprehensive call to praise. It's a complete. It includes everything, and it's kind of an awkward word, a comprehensive, but it kind of fits the bill, because from everything in creation, from the highest to the lowest, praise is called out to the Lord. It begins with angels, who were the first to be created, and then not totally, but generally it follows through to the last of God's creation. Praise called for from people, ending with His people. I don't know if you notice in the bulletin, the insert, how detailed it is. It's like, Pastor, that looks like a full message. No, it's not. It's a devotional, and the timing's working out great. But I remember the last time we tried to do something like this, John Shear, he's going to be here tonight. He was here for the morning service, and he got done, and I had 5 minutes. So I bagged my message, did something else quickly, and we went home. But it's not working out that way today. But I was afraid that you wouldn't get the feel for Psalm 148. You wouldn't get the sense of it. And so I put that down on paper so you could kind of get the flow of that and see where it's going. So this comprehensive call for praise and worship begins with everything in heaven. We begin in the first four verses with a roll call of praise, a roll call of praise from heaven. Let me just read that for you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all stars of light. Praise Him, highest heavens, and the waters that are above the heavens. Praise is the theme of this song, just as it is the last five psalms. Praise is actually the Hebrew word hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lord. John Phillips put it this way, this psalm is pure praise. It doesn't contain a single prayer, plea, or petition. Only praise. The roll call starts from the top down. The angels who are asked to praise first, they live in the third heaven. They live in the presence of God. Certainly praise should begin there. The sun, the moon, the stars that comes next, that's the second heaven. That's what we call the celestial heavens. That's next in the roll call. And third in the roll call is what we would call the atmospheric heavens. That's where the roll call from heaven ends. Praise from the third heavens, the angels. Though the angels are higher than we are, than humans, they're still created beings. They're still called to praise God. All the angels are fully doing this now. They unceasingly give praise and glory to our God and Father in heaven. God is the one who deserves our praise. Certainly not anything even as lofty as angels. When it talks about all His hosts, it's just Hebrew poetry. It's another way of saying angels, talking about the angelic hosts. But it's possible when it's talking for praise from the host, that might be talking about the redeemed who are also in heaven. And of course, we read in the book of Revelation, we read in chapter 4, chapter 5, about the praise of the angels and the living creatures, how they fall down, and the 24 elders fall down to praise and honor and glorify God. The 24 elders, representative, I believe, of the church there in Revelation, praise Him, all His hosts. Verse 3, praise from the celestial heaven, praise Him, sun, moon, stars, all light. We know that throughout the years, throughout our world, these things have been worshipped. But God made them. And they themselves are to bring praise to God. And if you're like me, you say, okay, I haven't heard the sun, the moon, the stars say anything ever. We haven't recorded it on one of our Hubble telegraphs or anything like that. We have the answer to this question in the psalm we looked at not too long ago, Psalm 19. Remember that? The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Day to day pours speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There's no speech, nor is there words, nor is their voice heard, and yet we hear, don't we? We hear their praise. Verse 4, praise from the atmospheric heavens. I think the last part talks about the atmospheric heavens, but that first part, praise him, highest heaven. I think that's superlative language. Praise him to the highest degree. That's how the roll call pretty much ends in heaven. And I like this. We always are given reasons by God for things. Verses 5 and 6 are the reasons why all of heaven is to praise him. Let me just read those two verses for you. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He has also established them forever and ever. He has made a decree which will not pass away. Why are we to praise him? Because by his awesome power, God spoke everything into existence. We talk about the hand of God, the arm of God. God spoke everything into existence. And he spoke everything into existence, and we are called here in Psalm 148 to voice to him our praise for all that he has made. I like the fact that we are also told that the Lord upholds everything. He establishes them. Literally, he has caused them to stand. He has set the boundaries. We talk about the laws of nature. Those are God's law in nature. All that God has made obeys this. Remember what God told Noah? While the earth remains, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. Praise the Lord. He made everything. He upholds and sustains everything. That's the reason we're given for the praise from heaven. It's the reason we would praise him even here from earth. We move then to verses 7 to 12, where the praise is called for from here, from the place in which we live. Let me read for you verses 7 to 12. Praise the Lord from the earth, sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and winged fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and virgins, old men and children. That's the roll call of praise. All people, all animals, all inanimate things on earth are called to praise the Lord, the Creator, not the creation. Our world gets confused about that. Not just in the past, not just when people supposedly were more ignorant, even today. People tend to worship the things that God made, but praise is to come from that which he's made. It begins with the animals, the sea monsters, everything in the oceans and the seas. It's kind of interesting. It starts with the deeps. We think about highest heavens, and then we get all the way to the deeps, the lowest parts here on earth, and then everything in between. Praise needs to come from the highest to the lowest, everything. Praise, this is interesting, by the weather and the elements, fire, hail, snow, clouds, stormy wind. You know, God controls them. Yeah. God sovereignly controls tornadoes and hurricanes and blizzards and all of that. They're asked to praise God. How do they praise God? By their obedience to what he says to do. Who can forget the picture that we read in the scripture where Jesus was in the boat and the storm was raging and the sea was so tempestuous? Peace, be still. And they were. Let the elements, the weather, praise him. Praise by all nature. Mountain, hills, fruit trees, cedars. I think this is a representative list. I think it includes all those things that inspire us and things that feed us, that nourish us. We were on vacation last week, so I got to say something about that. I didn't realize New Hampshire was so close to Boston. And one of the days we were up in the White Mountains area, we drove the 34 and a half mile scenic route in the White Mountain National Forest. I don't know if I can even pronounce this right. I've heard it so many different ways. They talk so weird in Boston. Yeah. The Kangamongas Highway. Just beautiful. They don't let any development happen there. No restaurants, no stores, no gas stations, not even a gift shop. It was so beautiful when it says, all creation praises your name. Creation might have been doing it, but we were doing it too. Every scenic stop we could find, it's like Larry was driving, Larry, stop. What? Turn this time, Larry. We got to see this. Just some beautiful stuff. Praised by all the animals found on the earth. We see that in verse 10. This includes all the wild animals and domesticated animals. And I'm so glad it didn't mention bugs and insects, but they got to be included too. How can animals praise God? By their very life, right? By their very existence, their amazing diversity. And by their obedience. We know when Jesus was here, even the animals obeyed him. All those fish went into the net at his command when the disciples were told to let down their net. When he told Peter to go fish to get the tax for him, that 2-drachma coin was found in the fish. We know the story of Jonah. We had that for soccer camp last year. It was so beautiful. God commanded the fish to swallow Jonah. And God commanded the fish, spit him out. They praise God, I think, by their obedience too. We get glimpses of that. And then we have, in verses 11 and 12, praise by all people. Categorically, all people. Verse 11 mentions rulers and leaders, kings and princes. Some think maybe military leaders are included in that. Then verse 18, by all people. Young men, virgins, old men, children. Every last one of us made in the image and likeness of God, and every last one of us are called to praise and to worship and to glorify his name. A couple reasons given there, verse 13 and 14, for this praise from earth. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven. And he has lifted up a horn for his people, praise for all his godly ones, even for the sons of Israel, a people near to him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Reason, first one found in verse 13. The people are able to do something that no others beside the angels. They can verbalize. We can verbalize our prayer. And it's exclusive to him alone. To him alone belongs our praise. Not Mother Nature, not any animal or person or any so-called gods invented by anyone. Each and every one of us, all of humanity, called to praise him. It gets more specific when we get to verse 14. It talks about God's holy ones, even the sons of Israel. I think that's a representative of the saints. Here specifically it's to Israel, but I think it's not too hard to extend that to all the redeemed as far as its application. All are to praise him. He's raised up a horn that speaks of strength and power. Not just all of humanity, but especially those who are redeemed, who belong to him, are called to praise and glorify his name. Zacharias' words there in Luke chapter 1, verse 67 and following, they kind of picked this all together. And his father Zacharias, that's John the Baptist's father, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people, and raised him up, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, his servant." I got a recent letter from a missionary friend, Harry and Eileen Bedig. They serve with Transworld Radio. I read a surprising answer to this question. What is the ultimate goal of missions? What is the ultimate goal of missions? As it was written in the letter, a common and expected answer would be something like, to share the gospel and make disciples. To share the gospel and make disciples. Amen to that, right? The letter continues. But that keeps the focus on humans. Consider this. The ultimate goal is the glory of God. The ultimate goal is the glory of God. Doesn't that resonate with everything we've been reading and hearing today? Everyone and everything that God has made is to praise Him. That letter goes on to quote John Piper. Missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exist because worship doesn't. How can people worship God if they don't know Him? Worship is ultimate. I sure hope and pray that worship and praise are the central part of our service today. Hey, it's great, isn't it, to see our church family and even members of our own families up here and having worked diligently and practiced and come to share with us. Those are some great memories, right? We cherish those kind of memories as we see, especially some of our younger ones up here. We say, Lord, thank you for that. Lord, protect them, keep them. Lord, in the future, continue to use them. Help them to be faithful servants for you. It's great. But ultimately, right? Ultimately, it's not all about any of that. It's all about Him. Yeah, it's appropriate after the service to thank those who have served, those who have ministered, and to encourage them. But we need to be careful. We need to leave with worship and praise in our hearts. It kind of calls for a benediction, doesn't it? Ephesians 3:20 and 21. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.